We're going to do the quickest sermon you've ever heard. And then we're going to just finish strong with worship. Some of the young adults, are they still going to be the ones that are going to lead us, I hope? You know, 2 weeks ago, if you weren't here, we talked about the word for the year. The word for the year for East River is the word purpose. That the Lord wants us to wake up and really begin to walk out His purposes. And it's based on Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart. So a lot of times we wake up and we're like, we're just coming up with our own plans. We're just, you know, making our way through life. And the problem happens is that 5, 10, 40 years goes by and we're like, man, just, I'm not experiencing that abundant life. Well, here's the problem. The Lord says, those are your plans. He doesn't have to back up your plans only because you think they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. No. But it says it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. He is invested in His purpose. So that tells me that we should wake up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you have today? I want what you've planned for my day. And begin to walk that out with the confidence that He's backing it up. And so last week we looked at Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, the first 12 verses, really the portion of Scripture that we get the name East River, where it talks about the temple and the river flowing eastward. That's where we get the name East River. And we looked at the assignment that God has given East River, the purpose. So if you weren't here, get online and listen, because it's a foundation of who we are. You got to understand who we are, because that's your assignment. East River is not me. East River is us. The assignment was just not given to me. It was given to all of us. And so in the next couple of weeks, I'm really talking about vision. I'm talking about the vision that the Lord has for East River. You know, when we started East River, we only started with 8 of us in our home. And now much more. We have several churches now, you know, praise God, and God has blessed. But when the Lord asked me to start East River, I said yes, but I kind of had one an aside requirement. I said, Lord, I don't want to just start a church. There's plenty of churches. Instead, what I said this to the Lord, I said, I want to start what you had in mind for the very beginning. You see, I've been around long enough, been in churches, and I read the scriptures, and then I look at churches, and sometimes they don't mesh up. I mean, you got to understand, when the church began and you see the church grow, really, there's a lot of freedom for how a church is to be developed. But the more I spent time in churches, I thought, some things, I don't know, I don't think that the Lord's meant for this to be how it's done. But I'm saying, Lord, I'm willing to start a church as long as you guide me to that place to be what you had in mind from the very first time. Because the church, the ecclesia, is your really decision, is your creation. But here's the first vision that we have about East River, and I'm going to zoom by it so fast. Sorry for doing that. Hang in there with me. It says, here's the first thing that the Lord said about us. See, when you talk about vision, you don't talk about what you are now, but it's where He's taken you. So once again, He gave me this when there was only 8 of us. I mean, how much vision can you have? There's only 8 of you. And yet you have to understand it, because it tells you where He's taking you to. And also, I review this with my leaders all the time. First thing is this: we're a compassionate church. To be compassionate really is a form of love. It means that you want to alleviate suffering. There's a concern, there's a tenderness, there's a kindness of mercy, that you want to alleviate suffering at various levels, physical, emotional, and ultimately spiritual. What that means is this, that you don't say to someone, you got in this mess yourself, you get yourself out. That when people are hurting in our community and our nation is hurting, that we don't turn our back on it. You know, believers a lot of times are known for turning their back on people that don't look like them, that don't think like them. But you know what? You got to understand, you and I didn't think like we think now. You and I didn't believe like we believe now. Can I get an amen? Right? I mean, I tell you what, I'm a different man, you're a different man and woman because of Jesus. And so we no longer pass by people. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what they look like. I don't even care if they're foaming at the mouth, right? You know, like, No, because you and I have the answer. And so that's what the Lord called us, to be compassionate. We reach out to people. We don't ignore them. We go out of our way to reach them. That really ministry goes outside of these four walls. I don't get impressed by how much you talk about Jesus in these four walls. I got to tell you, it doesn't impress me. This is a safe place. It doesn't matter. You're gung-ho for ministry in this place. That's good. But what impresses me is what you do out there. The ministry that you do at your place of work, in your home. That's what excites me. When I hear you proclaiming the gospel at work and people are getting saved, I start getting excited. I really do. And that's why we use a word around here called glocal. Someone thought I said it wrong. They felt sorry for me. Pastor mispronounced that. No, it's two words, global and local. So we call it glocal. It means that we not only do ministry locally, but we do it globally. In fact, we're involved in several nations already. From literal Hillsborough, we're involved in several nations. And we support more ministries than you even know. I mean, from this little place, God is so good to us. Why? Because Matthew 28 says, go there, right? Jesus said, I've got all authority. It's all mine. In heaven and earth, I've got it. I'm the new sheriff in town. You're my deputies. You're my deputies. I deputize you to go do what you need to do. Go therefore and make deputies. Oh, deputies. Go therefore and make disciples. Been in law enforcement too long. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things that I've commanded. Whenever we do any kind of work overseas, we do work with people that are interested in discipling. We're not interested in just getting people saved. And like Ann said, let them figure it out for the next 40 years. It's not the way we do business. If we get people saved, we're going to disciple them. We're going to teach them literally everything that the Lord commanded. And we got to understand, we're a church that remembers that the God who delivered them also seeks to deliver their friends. We don't have the attitude we're in. I'm in the kingdom. The heck with everybody else. No, here's what you got to understand. The Lord saved you, and now he wants to use you to save others around you. I was the first one that was saved in my family, and the Lord used me to save them. I was the first one that got saved among my friends, and although most rejected me, that's a whole different sermon, guess what? I went after them. And so he saved you, and he wants to save your friends. He's blessed you, and he wants to bless your friends. Here's the last verse, and so whoever's going to come and close up, you guys come and get yourself ready. Here's the last verse. And that's a quick sermon. That's like 5 minutes. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack. He's not slow. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Sometimes it seems that way. Lord, what's taking so long? I've been praying for my cousin to get saved. I'm praying for my brother. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some count slackness. No, but he's long-suffering. He's patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. The reason the Lord hasn't come back yet is there are still more people that he wants to bring in the kingdom. He still wants to bring your family. I mean, could you imagine if today the Lord said, that's it, I'm coming back. How many of your family members literally would spend eternity in hell? The Lord says, I'm giving you an opportunity. How many of your friends? And I tell you what, that's a heck of a burden. That's a heck of a burden. So when I went after my brothers, after my family, and I still do, I was just there this week. All I know is Jesus, man. That's all I know. And because he's transformed me. Amen. Amen. Everybody.